Chapter 11. I wish I had known that spirituality is not to be equated with going to church. 9 months after the wedding, Jill and Matt sat in my office. Jill said, "We've got a problem, and we don't know how to solve it." "So what's the problem?" I inquired. "Matt doesn't want to go to church with me anymore. He says that church is boring and that he feels closer to God on the golf course than he does in church. So for the last month, he drives off to the golf course while I drive off to church. It just doesn't seem right to me. I never dreamed that this would happen. Before we got married, Matt went to church with me every Sunday. He always seemed to like it. We discussed the sermons. He told me that he was a Christian. But how can you be a Christian and not want to go to church? He says that I'm judging him, and maybe I am. But I'm deeply hurt, and I'm beginning to feel that maybe we made a mistake by getting married." For Jill, the issue seemed to be attending church versus not attending church. However, Matt had a totally different perspective on spirituality. He did not grow up attending church. While a student at the university, he had become involved in a student-led Christian organization. After several months of attending meetings and reading the Bible and other Christian books, he had come to consider himself a Christian. While he and Jill were dating, he attended church with her every Sunday and found it interesting. But now that he was out of college and working full-time, he found the church services to be much too predictable and did not find the sermons to be very helpful. He sincerely felt closer to God on the golf course than he did at church. He could not understand why attending church was such a big deal for Jill. On the other hand, Jill was devastated. Attending church with other Christians was one of the tenets of her faith. It was unthinkable that a good Christian would not go to church. "What will we do when we have children?" she asked. "I can't bear the thought of my children not going to church." I could tell that Matt was getting frustrated. "Jill, we don't have children," he said. "We can cross that bridge when we get there." Matt and Jill were one of many couples who have sat in my office over the years and shared their conflicts over their religious beliefs. And yet, spirituality is often the last thing to be discussed in a dating relationship. In fact, many couples never get around to discussing their religious beliefs at all. As a counselor, I find this extremely disappointing. Since I hold undergraduate and graduate degrees in anthropology, I am often drawn to the cultural discoveries that have been made by anthropologists. One of those discoveries is that man is incurably religious. There are no cultures that have not developed a system of beliefs about the non-material world. From the Roman veneration of mythical gods to the belief in evil spirits found in Aboriginal tribes, man believes there is more than can be seen by the eye. The second discovery of the anthropologist is that these religious beliefs greatly influence the behavior of those who believe them. This is true both in what is often called primitive religions and also in the more advanced religions such as Judaism, Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism, and Islam. Our view of spirituality greatly influences the way we live our lives. Therefore, when couples are contemplating marriage, religion needs to be near the top of the list in matters that need to be discussed. The question is, are our spiritual beliefs compatible? Or are we marching to the beat of the same drummer? Few things have the potential for causing marital conflict more than divergent spiritual views. That is why most world religions encourage their adherents to marry within their own religious tradition. In the Christian faith, the scriptures admonish, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols?" These are cogent questions, and the wise couple will not avoid them. What do you think about God? So what are the issues that need to be looked at? First, there is one's concept of God. The Hebrew scriptures begin with these words, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." A few paragraphs later, we read, "So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them." Are these words to be taken literally? Is there a transcendent, powerful creator who not only created the universe, but made man in his own image? Or is this simply to be taken as Hebrew mythology? Your answer to those questions will have a profound impact on your self-perception and how you live your life. If you agree that God exists as the creator and sustainer of the universe, the next question is, has God spoken? The Christian scriptures affirm, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Thus, the Christian belief is that God has spoken through the ancient Hebrew prophets, recorded in the Old Testament scriptures, and that Jesus Christ is the prophesied Messiah, the Son of God, who would pay the penalty for man's wrongdoing so that God could forgive mankind and still be a just God. That is why Christians invite all to accept Christ as their Messiah and receive God's forgiveness and enter a love relationship with God. Your answers to the following questions will reveal the level of your spiritual compatibility. Is there a God who created the universe and made man in his image? Has that God spoken? If so, how has he spoken? What has he said? And how have I responded to his message? These are fundamental questions that need to be answered honestly. It has been my observation that many people come to adulthood never having explored their own spiritual belief system. They call themselves Buddhist, Hindu, or Christian, but they do so simply because they were raised in a Buddhist, Hindu, or Christian home. They are cultural Buddhists, Hindus, or Christians. Personally, they have not explored the fundamental beliefs of those religions. We do not choose our family, and thus the religion into which we are born. But as adults, we have the responsibility to seek truth in all areas of life. If you realize that your religion is simply a cultural artifact, I would encourage you to take the time to explore the history and beliefs of your religious heritage and discuss your journey openly with the person you are dating. If you cannot be honest and open about your religious beliefs before marriage, you are not likely to do so after marriage, and your religious beliefs will likely become a source of conflict.